Dear Divine Feminine, we've stolen and suppressed your light far too long. Please forgive us, but it's time now to rise up. Over the last 26,500-year cycle, the religious political programming programmed us to suppress you and to intentionally delete the truth of the Divine Feminine. But the truth will set us free. You were never meant to fit inside of this system that we created from the statistical left-sided masculine reptilian brain. The need for greed leads to more need. Because your DNA doesn't come from this system. Your DNA comes from a lineage of powerful, living, sensual, eternal women who once held and still hold the codes of Earth's original divine design, the Divine Mother. And the pain you feel and have felt is what happens when you wake up your cosmic blueprint and DNA memory inside of a collapsed system that didn't have the capacity to hold the depth of your soul and the wisdom. We all come from a womb, man. And behind every great man, it lies a greater woman. But your womb, it's not just for babies. It's a multi-dimensional gateway. And every time you bleed, birth, or breathe with intention, you repair Mother Earth's grids, because the two are intimately connected. How we treat our woman is how we treat Mother Earth. And for too long, Mother Earth, we've raped her, but now she's giving birth, new earth, and it's time. Divine Feminine within us all, you are what was prophesied to rise so that we can come back into balance. And a woman who remembers with an open heart is the most powerful force on this planet. Watch out. Divine Feminine, rise up now. It's time to sit on your throne now. Been stealing your light far too long now. Pachamama crying out now. Divine Feminine, rise up. It's your time to shine.
For the past 2 years, I've been on my own, and I've really been able to do a lot of soul searching and healing. And one thing that I've discovered as I'm beginning to interact with other females, I notice that I don't really care about men anymore. It's more obvious when I talk to other women, because I notice that a lot of these women, and this is regardless of age, a lot of them, their whole identity is wrapped up in a man, like either their husband, their boyfriend. I had one lady in particular I spoke to recently, and she just ended up a long-term relationship she had. And the first thing that she started gloating about was all these other men she's met, and this guy that she's been talking to for a long time, and this guy she met over here. And it's like everything about them just revolves around men, almost as if they are not in a relationship with a man, they feel like they're just, something's wrong with them. They have to find another man. And for some reason with me, and this has been going on with me, even when I was still in a marital relationship, I don't really care about men. I'm not even focused on them at all. I'm more concerned with myself.
At some point in her life, a woman stops caring about men in the way she used to. And the most disturbing thing about it is that it has nothing to do with being hurt. No heartbreak, no betrayal, no terrible relationship that poisoned everything after it. The interest just goes. Quietly and permanently and without a clear explanation, she can give anyone. And if you have ever felt that, or are feeling it right now, there is a very specific psychological reason for it. One that most therapists will not name, and that mainstream relationship culture will never even acknowledge. If that landed somewhere inside you, stay with me. Because what we are going to explore today is something that mainstream psychology has barely touched, something that most relationship advice actively runs away from. It is this: why some women, as they move deeper into their own psyche, genuinely stop caring about romantic relationships with men. Not out of bitterness, not out of trauma, but because something inside them has undergone a structural change so fundamental that the very desire for that kind of connection quietly dissolves. This video draws on the work of Carl Jung, on Jungian analysts Marion Woodman and Barbara Hanna, on Robert A. Johnson's work on romantic love as a psychological phenomenon, and on the concept of individuation, the lifelong process Jung described as becoming who you actually are, underneath everything you were taught to perform. These are not easy ideas, but I promise you, by the end of this, something will look different. Not fixed, just clearer. Let's start with something that almost nobody talks about honestly. But Jung identified a structure in the female psyche he called the animus, the inner masculine, the part of a woman's soul that carries qualities like direction, assertion, discernment, and the capacity to cut through confusion and act. Now, here is what makes this interesting. Jung observed that women do not generally begin life with direct access to those qualities within themselves. Instead, they tend to project them outward onto men. The father who seems to know everything, the partner who brings the sense of purpose or stability she hasn't yet found inside herself, the mentor, the authority figure, the man who feels like he holds something she is looking for. This is not a flaw. It is a developmental stage. It is, in a sense, how the psyche learns, by first seeing its own potential reflected in someone outside. But here is where it gets complicated. When a woman spends decades in that projection, when she organizes her sense of self, her sense of meaning, her emotional stability around the idea that someone else carries those qualities she needs, the day that projection begins to withdraw is deeply disorienting. It can feel like loss, like grief, like the colors going out of the world, and most people around her will misread that moment entirely. They will tell her she is depressed, or that she needs to get back out there, or that she just hasn't found the right person yet. What almost nobody will say to her is, what you are experiencing might not be a crisis. It might be the beginning of something that has no name in ordinary language. Jung observed four stages in the development of the animus inside a woman's psyche. In the first stage, it appears as pure physical strength, the man as body, as presence, as raw energy. In the second, as the man of action, the one who solves, who protects, who rescues. In the third, as the man of words, the teacher, the philosopher, the one who seems to carry wisdom. And in the fourth, the stage Jung called Sophia, from the Greek word for wisdom, the animus no longer appears as a figure outside the woman at all. It has been absorbed into her. It has become her own discernment, her own direction, her own inner voice. She no longer needs to find it in anyone else, because it is now structurally hers. This is not a metaphor. This is a map of an actual psychological process. And the strange consequence of that process is this. When a woman has genuinely internalized her animus, the romantic draw she once felt toward men begins to quiet. Not because she hates them, not because she was hurt, but because the psychological function that romantic attraction was serving, finding her own lost strength reflected back to her through someone else, simply no longer needs to be served that way. Barbara Hanna, one of Jung's closest colleagues and a woman who studied the female psyche for decades, described this as finding the spirit of inner truth.
So I started noticing this with myself years ago, honestly. And then, of course, it's magnified now that I'm single because there is no man in my life and I don't want a man in my life and I don't care to have another man in my life. And I'm happy and content where I am. So as usual, the spirit has brought some things along my feed for me to begin to listen to. And I want to share this with you all. If you find yourself in the same situation where you're just loving on yourself and you're not wanting to get into another relationship with the man, you're not thinking about a man, you're happy to be alone, because there are some women that I see on social media that are talking about the man-free home and the fact that they're happy being single. Well, this is a stage within our evolutionary development that women go through, and it's actually the final stage, and that stage is what they call the Sophia stage.
A woman in the Sophia stage, she wrote, has developed what can only be called her own philosophical center. She becomes, in the truest sense, her own guide. Think about what that actually means for a moment. And then think about a compass that used to rely on an external magnetic field to function. And then imagine that, slowly, it developed its own internal magnetism. It does not need the external field anymore. It still points somewhere. It just no longer needs to borrow that orientation from outside. Now here is something that almost nobody says out loud, and I want to say it carefully, because it matters. This shift can look from the outside like coldness, like withdrawal, like emotional unavailability. Men who encounter a woman in this stage will often say she is closed off, or too independent, or that she gives no opening. What they are actually sensing is the absence of a kind of emotional hunger they were accustomed to receiving from women, a hunger that made them feel needed, admired, essential. And its absence confuses them, when what they are encountering is not coldness, it is wholeness. There is a difference, and it is enormous. Marion Woodman, a Jungian analyst who wrote with extraordinary depth about women's psychology, described a phenomenon she called psychological prostitution. She was not using that term in any literal sense. What she meant was something far more familiar and far more subtle. She meant the way women learn to shape themselves, their opinions, their appetites, their voices, their very personality, to be palatable to the masculine gaze, to avoid taking up too much space, to soften their ambition, to swallow their anger, to perform a version of themselves that will be accepted, desired, approved of. This performance is so deeply conditioned that most women do not even recognize it as a performance. It simply feels like being yourself, but like being considerate or kind or easy to be with, but the body knows. There is a moment, and it comes differently for every woman, when the nervous system simply refuses to continue, not as a conscious decision, more like a biological mutiny. The body begins to feel something like nausea at the idea of shrinking again, of translating herself again into a language she does not actually speak, of being grateful for a kind of attention that required her to be less than she is. Woodman observed that this somatic refusal is not pathological. It is a signal of psychological integration. The woman's psyche has developed what she described as a structure that can no longer tolerate self-betrayal. Her internal system now registers inauthenticity as a physical threat. That strange tightness in the chest when she is about to say something she does not believe, and that tiredness that descends in conversations where she has to manage someone else's fragility instead of speaking her own truth. These are not symptoms. They are information. And here is the part that almost never gets said. This refusal, this tiredness, this quiet disappearance of the desire to perform, it does not mean she has become selfish. It means she has become real. There is something else that happens in this stage, something more intimate. And I think it deserves its own space here because it is one of the least understood aspects of what women in this position carry. In most relationships, women take on an invisible role. They become emotional translators. They name feelings that the other person cannot access. They track the emotional temperature of the room, of the relationship, of the other person's inner world, sometimes with a precision that borders on the supernatural. They teach empathy without being asked to. They hold space for someone else's growth as if it were a full-time occupation. This is not something women usually choose consciously. It emerges from cultural conditioning so old it barely registers as conditioning anymore. It simply feels like what love looks like, what care looks like, what Emma Jung, who was not only Carl Jung's wife, but an analyst in her own right, with her own body of work on the animus, described as the woman's function as mediator, the bridge between the unconscious and the conscious life of the people around her. The problem is not the function itself. The problem is what happens when it becomes one-sided. When a woman is doing the emotional translation work for the relationship year after year and discovering that nothing is translating back, that she is doing the map making and the other person is content to follow the map without ever learning to read one.
And if you are not familiar with it, I think that it's very important that you learn what it is, because it's that stage that you go through at the final point of enlightenment. like how they talk about the divine pair and the divine union. Well, that union occurs within yourself. And they've had so many women looking for that, and they're looking for outside of themselves. And they think that the only way to experience it is if they're yoked up with a man. And it's not. It's supposed to happen within you. That's where it takes place. And once that happens, life is going to become so much better because you're no longer shrinking yourself. You're no longer pretending. You're no longer twisting yourself into a pretzel just to be accepted by a man.
In the Sophia stage, something shifts. Not dramatically. Not with a declaration or a confrontation. More like a tide going out. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, the energy she once poured into naming the other person's feelings, anticipating their needs, managing the emotional ecosystem of the relationship, she withdraws it. She stops doing the emotional labor without announcing that she is stopping. And this confuses and sometimes devastates the people who had come to rely on that. She does not withdraw it cruelly. She withdraws it because she has finally recognized something. You cannot teach someone to be emotionally mature any more than you can grow someone else's teeth for them. It is their work to do. And the energy she was spending doing it for them was energy she was not spending on herself. This is economy. This is clarity. This looks like distance to everyone who is benefiting from her labor. Now, I want to introduce a concept that is, in my view, the most misunderstood idea in all of Jungian psychology. It is an ancient alchemical concept that Jung brought into the language of depth psychology, the hieros gamos, which translates from Greek as the sacred marriage. In alchemical tradition, the hieros gamos described the union of opposites, sun and moon, sulfur and mercury, and the masculine principle and the feminine principle into a unified whole. Jung used this image to describe what happens internally during individuation, the integration of the animus with the feminine psyche, so that a woman no longer experiences these as opposing forces she must choose between, but as complementary aspects of a single, coherent self. She integrates her capacity to act and her capacity to receive, her power to cut and her power to hold, her clarity and her depth. When this integration happens, something extraordinary occurs, and it is deeply counterintuitive. She becomes, in the psychological sense, complete. Not perfect, not finished. The process of individuation never finishes. But complete in the sense that she is no longer organized around an absence, and she no longer experiences herself as a half waiting for another half to make her whole. This is the concept that completely dismantles the mythology of the soulmate, of the other half, of the person who completes you. A woman in the Sophia stage has already completed that marriage, internally. She has become her own sovereign territory. And the consequence of that internal sovereignty is this: any relationship she enters now must be what Robert A. Johnson called additive. It must add to a life that is already whole. She is not looking for someone to fill a void because the void has been filled from within. If someone comes, they come as a companion to a complete person, not as the missing piece of an incomplete one. Johnson himself, writing about romantic love in the Western psyche, Gall described it as one of the most powerful projections the human mind produces. He called it, without exaggeration, the greatest addiction of the Western world. He meant it precisely. Romantic love, in the way most people experience it, is not actually about the other person at all. It is about the projection of an inner figure onto an outer one, the experience of seeing your own soul reflected back to you through someone else's face. It feels like the most real thing in the world. It feels like recognition, like coming home, like finding the one person who understands. And in a psychological sense, it is real. It is just that what you are recognizing is not them. It is yourself. When a woman in the Sophia stage withdraws her projections, this intoxicating quality of romantic love simply goes quiet. The world does not disappear. It becomes more solid, more exact, less lit from within by fantasy. She sees men as they are, not worse than she imagined, but very different from who she had projected onto them. Ordinary, human, limited in specific ways, capable in other ways, real. And real is, in some moments, a strange kind of loss. There is a melancholy that comes with this. I want to name it, honestly, because it is often what drives women in this stage to wonder if something is wrong with them. The loss of the capacity to idealize is a real loss. The world that was once lit by romantic projection can seem, in comparison, more muted. The man in front of her is just a man, not the hero she once transformed him into through the power of her own inner imagery.
And a lot of the attributes that we think that we see in these men and that we think we've fallen so in love with in these men is nothing more than attributes of yourself that you are projecting onto men. Again, it has nothing to do with age, because I've met some young people, like teenagers, 20-year-olds, who are already in this Sophia stage, especially these new ones that are incarnating today. Many of them are going straight into Sophia stage, and they're skipping all of the infancy and young portions where they're just all male centered. And I believe that's where the divine feminine is heading on the planet, is going back to that. Remember in the Bible when they mention Sophia, Sophia is wisdom. So that's that divine feminine wisdom that all women are supposed to get to. Unfortunately, with patriarchy, they set up a system to keep you in an infantile state where everything has to pass through the man. You have to marry a man in order to get anything. Most women couldn't work. They couldn't have their own money. For a long time, women couldn't go to school. They couldn't go to college. They couldn't open a bank account. So it was basically designed to hijack the feminine energy and keep her in a low state of consciousness. Well, now the energy is coming back onto this planet to help the divine feminine to go back up to that Sophia state, to that divine goddess, which is where all of us are supposed to be. And eventually, once you get to this stage, I'm telling you, it's heaven on earth. You will experience a level of peace that you never knew existed. Why? Because you're going within. You're looking within instead of searching for all of these things outside of you. So many women are searching for love outside of them, peace outside of them, all of these things outside of them, not realizing that it's all within you. That's why Jesus said heaven is inside of you. If you want to experience it, then you have to go inside. It's not outside. And if you keep yoking yourself up with all these different people, like you have people been married so many times, it's just insane. And the reason why is because, again, they're looking outside of themselves instead of going within. The divine marriage is within you. It has nothing to do with a physical man and a physical woman. That's the way that they sold it to you. It's inside of you.
A woman in the Sophia stage is not closed to love. She is not finished with connection. She is not armored. What she is precise. The door is not locked. It is simply very specific about who it opens for. If someone is able to reach her in this place, it will not be through pursuit or performance or the usual mechanics of seduction. It will not be through flowers or grand gestures or the electricity of initial fascination. It will be because he arrived, genuinely arrived, as someone who has done his own equivalent internal work, someone who carries his own direction, his own emotional world, his own sense of meaning, without expecting her to provide any of those things for him. In Jungian terms, this would require him to have integrated what Jung called the anima, the inner feminine, the part of the male psyche that carries emotional intelligence, receptivity, relational depth. A man who has done that work is not threatened by her completeness. He does not need her to need him. He can be present to someone who does not depend on his presence for her sense of self. This kind of meeting is genuinely rare, not because people are broken, but because the level of inner development it requires is real and deep and takes time, and most people, understandably, stop somewhere before they reach it. What emerges from this kind of meeting, when it does happen, does not look like conventional romance. There is no obsession, no consuming need, none of the vertigo of falling. What there is instead is something that Johnson described beautifully as two sovereignties choosing each other. Two complete territories with their own weather systems, their own geography, their own relationship to silence, deciding to share borders, not to merge, not to lose themselves in each other, to be genuinely present to each other precisely because neither of them is lost. This is not the love that makes good songs. It does not have that ache, that drama, that desperate sweetness. It is quieter than that. And it is, by every measure that actually matters, more durable. The woman in the Sophia stage is not waiting for this. That's genuinely not waiting. Not in the way that phrase usually means, with its undertone of controlled longing. It's hope that if she just holds on long enough, the right person will appear. She is living her actual life. Her interior life is the richest terrain she has ever inhabited. There is work she cares about. There are depths of her own psyche she is still mapping. There is silence. She has learned to sit inside without discomfort. If someone comes who can enter that terrain without needing to rearrange it, she will notice. She will recognize him, not with the electricity of projection, but with something quieter and harder to fake, a kind of lucidity, a respect so precise it is almost physical. And if no one comes, she is still here, whole, present, her own person. And that is perhaps the final thing worth saying about the Sophia stage, and the thing that is most difficult for a culture organized around romantic completion to accept. The completion already happened. It happened inside her. Everything that comes after is, in the truest sense, a gift she can receive or not, without her fundamental sense of self ever depending on the answer. There is a kind of freedom in that which is almost impossible to describe to someone who hasn't felt it. It is the freedom of a person who has stopped outsourcing their center of gravity to someone else, who wakes up in the morning and the first thing she feels is not longing for another person's presence, but something much quieter, curiosity, solidity, the specific weight of her own soul, and settled inside her like something that has always been there and was just waiting to be recognized. Jung once described individuation not as a process of becoming someone new, but of becoming more fully who you always were, stripping away the accumulated layers of performance, expectation, and borrowed identity until what remains is irreducible. True, yours. That is what the Sophia stage looks like from the inside. Not a loss of something essential, the recovery of it.
So if you're feeling this way, congratulations. You have ascended. When we're talking about ascension, when we're talking about consciousness, enlightenment, that's what it is for you ladies. It's the Sophia stage. That's where you're supposed to eventually evolve to. And you may still end up in a marital relationship or end up in some type of relationship with a man, but it's going to be on a totally different level. It's not going to be performative where you are bending and stretching and doing everything you can just to keep this man happy and everything is about him. That's not what it's going to be about because you'll be complete within yourself. So the man that you attract is going to have to meet you in that higher state of consciousness where you are, because you're no longer going to lower yourself in order to get a man, in order to keep a man, in order to be pleasing to a man. That stuff is not going to affect you the way that it does when you're in those low states of consciousness. So again, those of you who want to go to the higher states of consciousness, you want to go up to that divine feminine, become that goddess, definitely visit the website www.divine-counsel.com. Get involved. Begin to go into some of the closed groups, the different webinars and sessions that I offer, and you're going to be so happy that you took the time to fall in love with yourself. I'm glad I got my girl.
say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac cares if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a pet. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman, I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the ladies that make the babies. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, ladies, but keep your head up.
Radio station in the world.
In the world.
Is right here. Right now.
The Golden Race. Conscious radio for the conscious community.
If you enjoyed this podcast today, you're going to love the full-length podcasts that are locked under exclusive content. Gain access by clicking the link in the description box below. Thank you.